While COVID-19 infection rates continue to climb in the U.S., they're also rising elsewhere around the world. And with me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the top international stories of the coming days is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, can you first off give us a picture of the global situation at the moment and what we should be keeping an eye out for on the pandemic front this week?
Yes, Mark. Well, I'm talking to you from London in England, so let me start here. I should say that today is the first working day of Britain being outside the European Union and because of Brexit. Now, normally that would be the top headline in any newspaper on any newscast in this country today, but it's not. COVID is. And that's because this morning Britain began the rollout of the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine. It became the first country in the world to roll that out. So this is the top headline in Britain today. And people are very pleased about this because there is a real surge in cases going on. We have something like 50,000 registered new infections each day, and that's very high for Britain. So we have this kind of vaccine push going on. We have a big debate here going on about whether schools should reopen or not. There's also a debate about how the vaccine will actually be administered, because Anthony Fauci and other experts in the US reckon that the Pfizer vaccine, for example, should be delivered two jabs within 21 days of each other. Here in Britain, the second jab will not be delivered until 3 months after the first. And the idea being that you get as many people that first injection as possible to give them at least some protection. So there's all sorts of different issues in the mix here in Britain. If you look outside of Britain, the places I think are most interesting are India, which formally approved the AstraZeneca vaccine on Sunday. Now, this is a huge effort in India. They are going to try and inoculate 300 million people by the middle of this year, by July. And China is going to try and inoculate tens of millions of people by mid-February, which is the start of the Chinese New Year, a time of mass travel in China. And they're trying to inoculate, vaccinate as many people as they possibly can before then. And they're doing that with a vaccine that they themselves only approved for the general public last week. So you can see, almost wherever you go, there's this big drive now to vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. And the big countries in the world, China, India in particular, the huge populations, are pushing very hard on this.
Right. So COVID, obviously such a big deal. But Rob, other stuff going on in the world as well, including Steven Mnuchin, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, heading to East Africa this week. He'll be visiting Sudan on Wednesday. Why is that such a significant trip?
Well, I always find Sudan really interesting. Country in East Africa, 40 million people, and it's been traditionally beset by conflict. I mean, it's really had a hard time. So it had two rounds of North-South civil war, which cost the lives of 1.5 million people. It was Africa's longest-running civil war. That was brought to an end in 2005. It also led to South Sudan breaking away from the North to create a separate independent country in 2011, just 6 years later. Now, on December 14th, just before Christmas, the U.S. removed Sudan from its state sponsor of terrorism blacklist. But in return, Sudan has got to make nice or normalize relations with Israel. And other countries at the moment, Morocco, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, in what is really a foreign policy success for President Trump, are also normalizing relations with Israel. So that's why I think Sudan is going to be really interesting. It's quite complicated, but it's going to be an interesting country to watch this week for that reason and for various other ones.
Sure. All right. So, Rob, let's end on some happy news. Everybody likes a birthday party. And this week, there's going to be a very special one for the world's oldest living person. She lives in Japan. Tell us more about this person.
Well, this is Japan's Kane Tanaka. And I hope I've got the pronunciation right there. She'll be celebrating her 118th birthday this week. Now, which is incredible. She was actually born on January the 2nd, but the celebrations are happening this week. She's the world's oldest verified living person, confirmed by the Guinness Book of Records. She was born on January 2nd, 1903, and I had a quick look back to see what happened in that year. Well, that was the year when the Ford Motor Company was founded by Henry Ford. It was when King Edward VII was proclaimed Emperor of India, and it was the first west-to-east transatlantic radio broadcast was made in that year. So that gives you a flavor of what was going on then. Now, she was just 15 years old when the Spanish flu pandemic swept the globe in 1918 to 20, which killed between 3 and 5% of the world's population at that time. So this is somebody who's really seen it all before. I should just add that she and her husband spent most of their lives in a store selling noodles. She says her hobbies include calligraphy and calculations, because she loves mathematics, and she credited family, sleep, hope, eating good food, and practicing mathematics for her longevity. So hats off this week to Kane Tanaka, 118, the world's oldest verified living person.
Happy birthday, Ms. Tanaka, indeed. All right, that is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones in London. Rob, as always, nice to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, Mark.